All right. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We just praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father. You're our all in all, Lord. You're our life of our life and the spirit of our spirit, Lord. And I ask, Father, that you look with mercy upon all of us, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit this day. Fill us and teach us, Lord. Be led by your spirit. We praise you, Father. We glorify you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you fill us up so much with your spirit that everything negative goes out in the name of Jesus, that we are filled completely with your spirit, Father. Keep us from doing anything, Lord, that would be displeasing to you. And we praise you for doing that, Lord. We thank you, Father, that we're ever learning to walk that walk like you walked it, Lord. And we want to have that love that you have, Father God, in our hearts. For our brothers and sisters and for every person. And we praise you and we glorify you, Father, for doing that work in us. And that for this time that's coming ahead, we're going to need it. We thank you, Father, for the dominion and authority that you've given us over all the power of the enemy. And Father, we praise you. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you that tonight we do have an open heaven. And in that open heaven, we know that when we pray, we're going to get our prayers answered. Because we trust you to fulfill the promises in your word, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for all that you're going to accomplish tonight, because we're going to be led by your spirit tonight. And we're going to learn out of your word tonight, Father. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. We bind up any kind of communications problems in the name of Jesus and cast it out of this fellowship in the name of Jesus, that everybody who comes on is going to lock on, stay on, and have all kinds of access. And we praise you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. That's the name that's above all names. And we glorify you, Father. We praise you, Lord, because you're worthy of our praises. And I thank you, Lord, for being our God. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Woo, my. Does anybody got a prayer request? I'm telling you, God wants to do something for his people. Yeah, Nick.
I got a praise.
Go for it, brother.
I went to the doctor today and everything came back normal.
Well, glory to God. I didn't expect anything less. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's good, Nick. Praise God. All right, Julie.
Hey, blessings, everybody. I would like you all to agree with me in prayer, and I'm sure my dear sister and brother up north are praying the same thing here, but there's some weather warfare going on the next week or so. And I just want you to agree with me that these temperatures are not going to go anywhere near what they're saying in triple digits. In the name of Jesus, Father, we bind this evil, wicked weather warfare that's happening. And we pray and ask God that these temperatures will not climb to what they are saying they're going to climb. I know that they threaten a lot of things. I know there's just all kinds of weather issues all around the country, Lord, either floods, devastation of flooding and torrential rains and damaging winds and all the things they're doing out here, you know, a lot of excessive heat and no water. And Father, we cast all that down. And we also ask, Father, that there are many people that I know that don't even have electricity. They don't have air conditioning units in their homes. And it's uncomfortable for them. And they can't go anywhere to get cool. And also, Lord, they can't afford to run the air conditioners because they've increased the cost of the energy rates so high, Lord. And we just thank you for your mercy. And I'm asking for that, Lord, your mercy and grace on these people. And not just for myself, Lord, but just for everybody out here, Lord, who is suffering. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Matter of fact, Lord, thank you for all of your elect out there, that you would keep them cool, wherever they are. It makes no difference, and we thank you for it, Father. We send your angels out there right now to do it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. Praise God. I believe it. Yeah, Marilyn.
Just to tack on with what Julie was praying, because it's been so hot and so dry here. They're also, you know, prophesying high fire dangers and things like that. And we don't receive that. We don't accept it. We've been praying against the hot temperatures, and they've never gotten as hot as what they have forecast. And we thank you and praise you for that, Father. And but we pray against any spirits, any assignments of arson in any form, any fashion, however they would do that. We cast all that down in Jesus' name. We are not, we forbid it for the sake of the elect in these areas. Father, we pray the protection of the angels, and that there's just not going to be any of that. We're not going to have fires. We're not going to have smoke. Mm-hmm. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We do. We forbid any assignments of the enemy to do that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Your angels out there right now stopping all that garbage. In the name of Jesus. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else got a testimony or a praise report or a prayer request? Yeah, Joe.
Want some prayer for my voice. It's very slow. I can't really talk much. It's very slow.
Okay. All right. Lord, we come against whatever this is in Joe's throat, this spirit of infirmity, we command it to go right now in the name of Jesus. I don't know what your name is, but you got to go. He's got a good voice, and he's going to be talking like an Arkansas boy here shortly in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that his throat is healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father. He has his voice. Amen. He's going to receive it, claim it, and be in it in Jesus' name. Amen. We just believe it, Joe. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Glory to God. All right. Hey, Stephen, good to see you, bud.
I got myself going, brother. Yes, I see you, Michael.
Yeah. Amen. Who's that good-looking gal you got with you there?
I was somebody I snagged about 40 years ago.
Oh, did you? Okay. All right. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or? Yeah, Samuel.
Last week.
Or Tiana.
Last week, some brethren and us prayed for David because he'd been manifesting some unclean spirits. And there's just been such a really big change since then. Like, he stopped manifesting most of the spirits.
Amen.
And he's laughing like 20 times more than usual every day for no reason. It's just, he's so happy. And there's just been a real big change. It's just so incredible. God's so awesome.
Yeah, well, thank
awesome. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Definitely were.
Amen. It's always nice to have a quiet baby in. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. I know. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Missy.
I'd like to give just a little testimony and then have a prayer request. I noticed a couple days ago that there were like three knuckles that were a little, before they were, I guess you could say a little deformed is the easiest way to put it, in my fingers. And I noticed, especially the one, I noticed the other day that it's like going away. They're becoming more normal than, you know, they're not like knobby or whatever you want to call them. Anyway, so I know it's like the Lord's, you know, and they're not sore like they are sometimes, but I just praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Yeah.
So thank you, Lord. And I'm really being attacked with anxiety over this. And it's not that I don't want to comply or anything like that. It's like I'm getting mixed signs or misunderstanding or trying to understand, you know, how the Lord would have me do my part in, you know, selling stuff or whatever and that kind of thing. And I've got some different feedback from different people, and anyway, it's just the enemy is just really attacking me with anxiety over the whole thing. And I've been fighting it, and it's like, and it's, you know, like I said, it's just, it's like I have, you know, like have, I say what part of it is fear and trembling of making sure I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do, you know, and how to go about it and all. And I'm just like having a lot of anxiety about it. And I just, having a hard time resting about it. And I just feel like it's just an onslaught attack. You know, it's just like, well, I just need some help with that.
Okay. You're talking about the email, right?
What, the newest one or something?
No, the one you're talking about.
Well, about, you know, giving. Yeah, giving. And
okay, here's what I suggest you do. And we talked about it actually Saturday night. Is to read. I know a lot of people read through it the first time. And what the angel said, they read through it the first time. And they just freak out. I know you didn't do that, but I'm just saying. But you have to read it very carefully to understand what he wants. And you do what you can. You do what you can. And you ask the Lord for the rest of it. If you have, if you don't know whether you're supposed to do this or do that, you ask the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, I've been asking the Lord that, and like, okay, like for one thing, you know, I'm like, Lord, should I have a yard sale? You know, I asked him, and I felt like I probably should, you know, and the Lord gave me all tail for a no. And I had one person say to me, well, why wouldn't the Lord want you to have a yard sale? So anyway, so it's just.
Here's, I can tell you this much, Miss Ann. I don't want to speak out of line with what you're doing. The Lord is taking us away from lots.
Right.
He wants us to be led by the Spirit. And if initially what in your gut feeling, what you thought you ought to do, you're being led by the Spirit if you've been in the Spirit. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you do whatever you think God wants you to do. Don't get anxiety. Any anxiety will just steal your rest. So we're just going to pray for that right now. In the name of Jesus, we cast down any kind of anxiety or any kind of fear of doing wrong. Because God, we thank you, Lord, that you are a gracious God. And all he wants us to do is just to know in our heart what he wants us to do. And that's to give. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to show Missy exactly what she needs to do by being led by the Spirit of God. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that when we obey you, Lord, ever how we see fit to do it, it's going to be fine with you. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All he's looking for is our heart to want to do what's right.
Right. And that's what I want.
Yeah.
I want to know, you know, and I was just using it as information, you know, casting the lots, and I was, you know, kind of how it came up, and I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, we still go to it at times here. It's just a mess right now. He'll give me one answer and give David another answer. We're sitting there scratching our heads, you know, and finally we figured it out that, well, we need to just go to the Lord, you know, and let the Lord tell us, and he does. So, and, you know, I remember, well, we're not going to go into that right now, but don't get anxious about it. That's the main thing. Don't be anxious about it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for Missy's heart, for you. I know she loves you, Lord, and you know she does too. And we thank you, Father, that she just wants to do right. We ask you to give her a dream tonight to do, to square it all away in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that it is done. Amen. I believe it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Julie. Yeah, is that it? All right, Julie.
So, Lord. I would like prayer and prayer of agreement. I just got a text message from my sister. And she told me, she goes, that she needs to talk to me, and it's about her brother, Larry. And I told her I couldn't. I was, you know, in a meeting right now, and she would try to call me tomorrow. And also then she said that he's been admitted to the hospital. His phone is turned off for the night, and he asked me to call you to let you know the situation. So, I don't know the details, and that's okay. But I just like prayer of agreement for my brother's safety and well-being, from all pharmakia, from all the enemies' attempts to put him on anything, Lord, that is going to do harm to his body. Heavenly Father, you know my faith, and you know I believe, Lord, that when he got the vaccines unknowingly, in ignorance, and for whatever reasons he did, that I believe, Lord, that he received the placebo. Lord, I don't know the his condition of his body. I don't know what the problem is, Lord, but you do. And I just pray a hedge protection all around about Larry from any harmful effects of any pharmakia, that they will not put him on anything, Lord, that would do harm to him in any way, shape, or form. I pray, Father, that he is right in his heart with you. And that whatever you're doing right now in him, Lord, that you bring the right people into his life to minister to him spiritually, Lord. And if it be your will, tomorrow I can talk to him. And I pray that you go before me with my phone call, and when my sister and I do talk, Lord, if it's yet this evening or tomorrow, that you would help me to be a good listener, and that I would speak as you would have me speak. And I just bind up any fear, worry, anxiety, stress, anything that's affecting Larry or my sisters right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that you would draw everyone in my family to you right now to seek you and to pray and intercede for Larry. And I just pray that the bad news isn't going to be bad news. And if it wasn't such, if it was an emergency, she would have told me so. So I'm not worried about it. And I thank you for the peace I have. And I just thank you, Lord, for taking care of him in this situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We hook our faith up with Julie and we declare it so. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, that he's going to be out of that hospital in no time with nothing wrong. And we thank you for it, Father. We just thank you for your angels that are round about Larry right now, keeping him from harm from any of the pharmakia that goes on in the hospital there. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, I believe it. Glory to God. Larry, you come off that bed of affliction right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Joe.
Yeah, I wanted to, I could pray or just maybe, you know, I thought I'd suggest for, you know, anyone like, who could be struggling with this, you know, recent command. And I've found that the Lord does it for me. I mean, some suggest to pray, say, you know, that the Lord would make it obvious what to do, you know, and he's done that for me already. And I'm still believing that, when the Holy Spirit speaks, you just make it obvious, like he's just speaking really loud to you. So, or, yeah, I mean, I'll pray for everyone, you know, I mean, and even myself here. Lord, I just thank you for this, you know, recent situation here. You know, I thank you for the times we're coming into. And I thank you for what you're going to do, you know, most of all in this, you know, in this recent command from the angels, from you, Lord, ultimately, through the angels, you know, the angel Baruch. And, Lord, I thank you. You're going to lead us, you know, and as you did for me last week, you know, make it obvious, like you're just like, speaking real loud to us, do this, do that, sell it to this person, that person. It doesn't matter what it is. Lord, you'll do it. I thank you for that. I thank you for, you know, personally myself, the individuals who will buy, you know, all those buyers out there you have. And even for Missy, even for anybody else who's just, you know, wondering, okay, what is God going to do? What's going to happen there? We thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do, Lord. I just join my faith with everyone else. And, you know, thank you for the testimonies that'll come, you know, make some great testimonies out of this, out of what you can do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You just reminded me of something, Joe. Thank you. All right, here's an announcement. This is an announcement. This is an announcement. Okay. If you have a testimony of what God's done for you since these angels started talking to us, send it in. We're going to do a whole program on that. Just nothing but testimonies and possibly a book. You know, you never know. It'll be on New York Times bestseller list. But anyway, send them in to Eve, and she's documenting all of them. That's good. All right, go ahead, Lana.
Hey, everybody. I just wanted to share something and ask for prayer. So in the last week or so, we've become inundated with a lot of serious decisions to make. And I was struggling with a lot of emotions, as I've realized I always do when something like this happens, unexpected especially. And so I started casting them down. And by the grace of God, the Lord revealed to me that this is, I never suspected that I struggle with anxiety. I was casting anxiety down, but I thought it was one of the symptoms when anxiety was the main culprit. And the Lord helped me identify that. And he's given me the grace to start coming against that and to being able to understand what it is that I'm experiencing and why I'm experiencing it, which empowers me to stand stronger in my faith and stand on the command that it is gone in the name of Jesus. So I'm very grateful to the Lord for revealing this and giving me the grace to come against it. My prayer request is that in the midst of making decisions in the next couple of weeks or so, involving the commands of the angels, as well as some changes that we are facing, including Theo's, Theo being laid off right now. We're not finding any clear direction when we, turn to the Lord in terms of, verses by faith or any, casting lots. Just there's no answer, and the verses don't really, seem to point out anything obvious in regards to the question we put before the Lord. And so I just want to come against any, I'd like to ask for prayer because I'm not sure how to pray about this, except that I want to come against any distraction, any hindrance that's keeping us from being able to see the Lord's path, because I feel like, I feel like the enemy is attacking us and wants to keep us from moving forward, from being obedient to the Lord, from having a clear discernment as to what the Lord wants to do. He kind of just wants us stuck in this rut trying to fight against him. And so I'm just asking for agreement and prayer so that the Lord clears up this fog and that we can move forward quickly, efficiently, and in his will. Thank you so much.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Lana, Theo, both. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to give them clear direction. Clear direction. We praise you and we glorify you, Father, that this distraction, whatever it is gone in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that your angels, their angels are right there with them, clearing house. And we praise you, Father, and we thank you that direction is coming. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your clear talking to us, allowing us to get alone and to hear your voice, Father, to tell us and speak to us and show us what we need to do. And we thank you for it, Father. I know sometimes, Lord, a woman that has three kids like Lana does, it's hard for her to get along. But, Lord, I know you could talk to her in the night while she's in the bed. And I thank you for doing that, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Or any other woman or man in this fellowship, Lord, we thank you for getting your directions to them in a clear way, Lord, in Jesus' name. I just praise you, Father, for doing that. Glory be to your name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, because we know that you want your people to walk the way that you want them to go. And you want them to hear you. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Yeah, Greg, go ahead.
Just when you were mentioning mothers there, I'm going to just recount a story I've heard, and maybe you people know it. But there was a man, you know, John Wesley, who, he didn't initiate a revival, but he was instrumental in being initiated in England. That probably saved England from the carnage that happened in France as far as the French Revolution goes. His mother, was a mother of a number of children, and her prayer closet was just pulling her apron over her head.
I ain't looking.
Nowhere else to go. Just pulling up the apron she had to protect her from and praying. So just a commendation to mothers out there that the role you have is really important. Let me just pray as well for all of us. You know, and look, personally, I'm not trying to put it down at all, but whenever I've done the casting lots things or flipping of coins in my case, I've always given the Lord an out. It's like, you know, heads, tails, yes, no, or, you know, mix it up if you don't want to talk to me this way. He has always not wanted to talk to me that way, which is kind of like sad and good because, you know, one, I don't want to, I guess, a yes, no relationship with him. And two, you know, it forces me onto him. And even the verse at random thing, not putting it down at all one bit, but it's never, I always go, well, what does that mean? So Lord, Lord, we want to know your will. And Lord, you know, I thank you for what has been revealed to us, in Tennessee. Lord, but as you, you have called us into relationship with you, Lord, and give us ears to hear and hearts to understand. We thank you for your word. And Lord, there's nothing that, you know, we'll say this now together, that there's nothing that we are going to do that we know is contrary to your word. So Lord, bind the enemy and just, as I say, you say in your word, you know, that him who has ears to hear, please make us those hims and hers who have ears to hear and hearts to believe and feet and arms and legs to act. Amen.
Amen.
Or as the man once prayed, I believe, help my unbelief.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Greg. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, we had a really big storm last night. And there was over like 200,000 people without power after the storm.
Oh, my. Did you pray?
Yeah. And we got lucky. We had power after the storm. So.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Great testimony. All right, Anretta.
Hi, I just have a praise report. My husband said, actually, we've been doing Bible study the last week together, and that's just been amazing. Awesome. Something I've prayed for years. And he said, like, while he was doing this fast, something's happened, and he reads the word and he understands it. And, you know, like, you can see he's got a thirst. For reading the Bible, and that's just awesome. I'm the one who seems to be lagging behind.
Glory to God.
Praise God, yeah. And yeah, and with mom, the paperwork I need and that, I'm still not on it, but there's clarity, and even in the pain, it's not overwhelming, or the suffering isn't as intense, or yeah, it's, praise God, he's taken that burden off of me, and so I thank him for that. And Andre's been wanting to apply for this new job. So if you could just believe with me, I thank you, Father in heaven, for the direction that you're giving him. I give you praise and glory, Father, as he starts to walk out this authority, his path and authority, Father, that you will guide him, Lord, and that you will open up doors for him towards his ministry, towards his calling, Father, and towards the headship that you have bestowed upon him. And so I give you praise and glory, Lord, because your kindness does follow us all the days of our lives. And no matter how small an issue we have, Lord, it concerns you. And so I thank you, Father, for that kindness and that sweetness, Lord, and that love that is just so thoughtful, Father in heaven. I praise you and I thank you, even as I give you praise and glory, that we are all receiving in faith from your bounty, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for restoring this family into its rightful place. We thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. And Retta's got a Jesus in her house now. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Let's see. Let me make an announcement to Dirk and Joe Monroe and all of y'all in different countries. We've gotten instructions and they're coming out to you if they hadn't already, if Eve hasn't already sent them to you, as far as the printing the books and stuff. Okay. We talked about that yesterday, Dirk, and she's going to give you clear instruction, and it's great. It's great. It's going to be awesome. So, y'all get ready. Work is coming. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or a testimony? Well, tonight we're going into Jezebel. And the way I want to do it, if y'all don't mind, is I want to read a portion. And then if anybody has a question or an answer or a comment, that's fine. This is kind of the way that we do it here is we'll read a paragraph, and then if somebody wants to ask a question, that's fine. I'm hoping and I'm praying that y'all all have read this a number of times in order to get a clear understanding of who Jezebel is. A lot of women, men, either one, don't know who Jezebel is and what the tenets of her is. So I'm going, is that all right with y'all? Just raise your hand when you need, and Judy, you watch for, help me watch. If anybody raises their hand while I'm reading, so I can stop, we'll go through whatever it is. Hey, Rhea. Good to see you again. Okay, let's. Hey, bud. David and Lena, look at that. Oh, my God, there you are, way over on the west side. All right. Jezebel is a destroyer. A reason I picked this chapter is because it's got every tenet, it's got every facet of a Jezebel in it, it seems like, and just in this one chapter. And that's why I took it out of Word, Women, and Authority. Jezebel is a destroyer. The lives of Jezebel. I know that many of you, brethren, have a hope of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that you want to press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You want to come into submission in right relationship to the Word of God so that you can be in the bride of Christ. We've seen from the scriptures the great promises for that, the guidance, the provision, the protection, and I pray you all make it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, David goes on and says, the Lord has given me understanding that a Jezebel spirit is covertly putting to death the brethren. Now, I know that's not just happening in UBM. It's happening around the world because too many people don't know the real danger in a Jezebel spirit and what its tactics are. And so I'd like to share just a few things with you about that. First of all, we need to understand that mixture is from the pit. If you put even a speck of black paint into white paint, that paint's gray. It may be imperceptible to the eye, but it's still gray. That's what Satan does. Satan uses mixture. He will surround a lie with enough truth to hide it and make it seem reasonable. We need to put on the whole armor of God, as it says in Ephesians 6 and 11. And so 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, that no advantage may be gained over us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The Jezebel spirit wants to rule. It wants to control. So it feeds the ego in a person. They think, of course I should be in charge because I'm smarter or because I know what's best or because you're a lazy good for nothing or whatever. It tells you what you want to hear and then you're ready to receive the lie. I don't see any hands go. I'm going to keep going. Jezebel hates God's line of authority, that is so true, and has been attacking it at every turn. Why is there a plague of homosexuality and lesbianism and every other kind of perversion? It's because of Jezebel's lies to those who listen to her. For example, where the word says that as the corporate body of the bride, we are to receive the spiritual seed of our husband, Christ. Jezebel takes that spiritual revelation and twists it. Jezebel turns that revelation into a fleshly parable about man receiving the physical seed of man. And that destroys a link in God's ordained line of authority. It's the same thing Jezebel does to the woman. When that line of authority is destroyed, when the man is no longer the head of the woman, it creates lesbianism and feminism and all those perversions and so forth. These perversions bring nothing but spiritual death when people let themselves be deceived by giving place to Jezebel. You know, folks, we have to first be in right relationship with one another in order to be in right relationship with the Lord. The Lord gives us commands. He doesn't give us suggestions. We don't have a choice in what we're to do. And there is a numeric pattern going through the scriptures as proof to us that this is God speaking. Revelation 22 and 18 says this, I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city, which are written in this book. When men depart from the word by adding to or taking away from it, they fall under the curse. Deuteronomy 28:15-68. It's for their own good that they let the word of God put to death the old man. In Ephesians 4:22. That you put away as concerning your former manner of life, the old man that waxes corrupt after the lust of deceit. In James 1:22. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. The word of God is the washing of the water with the word. Ephesians 5:25. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word. It's the real fulfillment of our baptism that puts to death the life of the old man. That boy, we need that, don't we? Colossians 3:9. And brings us all into complete unity with the Lord. And the Bible says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Now, the Spirit of God wrote this word. Therefore, we have to come into submission to this word in order to be in right relationship with the Lord and to be sons of God. And if you don't want to obey this word, you can't be a son of God. You can be a servant, but you can't manifest sonship. So remember that when we read these words, because this is God speaking, it's not me. I'm just the messenger boy. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise ye that ye remember me in all things and hold fast the traditions, even as I delivered them unto you. Notice, he was just a delivery boy, just like me. It was God who wrote these things to us. And if you want to know why you're going through the troubles you have, I can guarantee it's because of wrong relationship to the scriptures. But God loves us, so he's going to fix that. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I would have you know, this is important, obviously, that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, give some thought to this, because the Lord is not going to change his mind. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yea, and forever. Some people say, oh, the more modern Christ is the one I believe in, and not that guy Paul. Well, that's the spirit of Jezebel talking, and the spirit of Jezebel hates Paul. But that doesn't let Jezebel off the hook. Since Peter said the same thing, John said the same thing, Elijah said the same thing, Isaiah said the same thing, Samuel said the same thing, Malachi said the same thing, and on. So if you get rid of Paul, then you have to get rid of the rest of the Bible. Jezebel is the one that's not in right relationship with God, because Jezebel is not under God. Jezebel is under the devil. Yeah, Pat.
I was thinking, the Jezebel spirit, wants to, and I think we'll probably get into that a little bit later, but the whole point is to control, to exert control over us. And, I guess what I'm thinking is that that control, they, in order to gain that influence or that control over us, they have to, or that spirit has to get us to fear, mm-hmm. has to get us to fear. That's the only thing. Because in order to control us or to manipulate us, we have to be convinced that something is will harm us or can harm us or something like, you know, like that. I guess I'm trying to put some thoughts together here, but so that if we fear, we are tempted, of course, to take control of our own life. And, by doing so, of course, we usher ourselves out from under the Lord's control or his guidance or his, being able to provide for us or save us in whatever particular area that we are feeling fearful in. And it's Jezebel's job, so to speak, is try to keep us off center, try to keep us in fear. Because in that way, that spirit can manipulate and control us. I think anybody that has is dealing with a Jezebel spirit is fearful themselves and, is unwilling or unable through deception to submit to God's authority, to submit to, and that's why I believe the whole all the comments basically about authority and submitting to authority. When David said, recited that scripture, it says that Christ is the head of man and man is the head of woman and God is the head of Christ. And everyone in that line has to yield up, has to submit to authority. And that is God's path of grace, so to speak, in many ways, that if we are in right alignment under submission to the authority above us, then we are clear to receive guidance or direction from God by that way. But if we shoot out from under that authority and try to save ourselves or try to call our own shots, irrelevant or avoiding that submission to that authority over us, then that's where the struggle takes place. Anyway, I'll just leave it at that. Anyway.
Amen. There are churches out there that discount Paul's writing. They'd like to do away with all of Paul's writing simply because of what he says about the headship of man in the family. And that's very, very telling. Yeah, Missy.
It's probably more applicable to down the road here a little bit, but you kind of brought it up or whatever, somewhat.
Don't blame me. Go ahead.
I've experienced a man with Jezebel spirit and leadership trying to manipulate. I mean, personal experience trying to manipulate. A lot of experience from one particular person. And I actually said to my husband one time, I said, he's not my husband, you are, and I don't need to listen to him.
Amen. And you don't. And we're going to get into that here shortly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. All right. Let's continue on here. The next subtitle is Unauthorized Authority. David says, I would have you know that the head of a man, every man, is Christ. Yes. And no one should come between that headship of Christ over the man. Christ is the head of the man because man is a part of the body of Christ. Christ is the male figure, and we are to be, we should be, the bride of Christ, in that we are those who receive his seed, his life. He is the head. If that relationship is reversed, as, for instance, when a man usurps authority over Christ or over the body of Christ, that is a Jezebel spirit in the man, just like Missy was talking about. He has spiritually joined himself to a harlot. 1 Corinthians 6:15. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. When someone takes authority that's not given to them by the Lord, then they didn't come through the door. Jesus said they came up some other way, John 10:1. Everyone who actually is in the body of Christ is subject to Christ. Christ is the head. And the head of the woman is the man. And this is just as true. The head of the woman is the man. And God's not going to change his mind about that either, because he created it this way. He tells you in the book why he created it this way, Genesis 2:18. It's not your choice, and it's not a competition, which some people make it out to be. When a woman doesn't want to be submitted to the man, there's self-will there. There's rebellion there. And there's quite often Jezebel there. The woman has cast off all restraint. She has shaved off her hair. 1 Corinthians 11:5 says, but every woman praying or prophesying with her head unveiled dishonoreth her head, for it is one and the same thing as if she were shaven. For if a woman is not veiled, now this is speaking of a sign of her submission to her husband, let her also be shorn. But if it is a shame to a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be veiled. This spirit is a destroyer of families. And men, if you step outside the submission that you have to Christ, outside from being the body of Christ, just as the woman is the body of the man, you're following a Jezebel spirit, which will give you an Ahab spirit. You're not following the spirit of God, and you'll never be a son of God if you follow a Jezebel spirit. Jezebel spirits want to bring confusion into the family. It can be the spiritual family of the people of God, which is the church, and also the physical family. Jezebel spirits do that in order to destroy the family and to bring people out from under subjection to the head, who is Christ. Those are pretty stout words. Anybody got any questions or answers? All right, let's go on. It's confusion when God's ordained chain of authority becomes broken in any way. And we're seeing a lot of confusion these days. For instance, wife, if you're not submitted to your husband, then you're not submitted to Christ. Christ does not accept you taking authority over your husband. If you seek to take authority, you're not following him, and you'll not manifest your sonship. That's witchcraft, as the Bible says in 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry and teraphim. Teraphim were small idols usually set up in household shrines. They were gods that people made for themselves, and that's what any idol is. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now, if the Lord would reject King Saul for rebelling against his word, don't you think you would be rejected for doing the same thing? If you want to submit to Christ, then you'll grow into his image more and more, and he'll bless you. But if you don't want to submit, you need to get out of the church for your own good, because you're going to be destroyed. The Lord is coming to destroy the Jezebel spirit, and anybody who lets a Jezebel spirit into their house, man or woman, is inviting destruction to their family. And many families are destroyed. Children who are raised up under that spirit go on and destroy their own families. And know also that a husband who is willingly taking part in a woman that is taking headship is an Ahab. He's going to meet with the same end that Ahab met in 1 Kings 22:37-38. And I know from experience, David says, that when a person cannot give up this dominion that they're not supposed to have, be it man or woman, it's a demon spirit that they love more than they love being a disciple of Christ. Whew, they're in idolatry. Now, it's not your job, wife, to make sure the husband obeys Christ. It's your job to back away and pray for him and believe for him and not distract him from having all of his attention on Jesus Christ. He doesn't have to be perfect. This relationship is still true. You can't overthrow your wife because he isn't doing what you want him to do. Instead, you're going to go to the Lord for him. Glory to God. This is some good stuff. Has anybody got any questions? Okay. Pretty clear, isn't it? Amen. Ephesians 5:22, wives, be in subjection unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Notice the relationship. It says unto the Lord. If a wife doesn't want to obey the Lord, then she is not going to obey her husband. If she obeys her husband, that's the best way for her to obey the Lord. David says, I did a survey of the commands given to women in the New Testament, and overwhelmingly, those commands have to do with her obeying her husband. And I found that for the husband, his most important responsibility is to lead his family. And of course, he is to do that in submission to the Lord, and the scriptures are to guide us in this. If the Lord has told you to do something and you back off because your wife doesn't agree, you're not in submission to the Lord. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. You wouldn't say that Christ is not head of the church, but if a wife rebels against her husband, that's what she's saying. The husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. It's the same parallel. Being himself the savior of the body. A husband who is following the Lord is the savior of his body, which is his wife and his family. Just as Christ, whose head is God, is obeying in order to save his body, which is the church. Woo! That's some good stuff here. Matthew 16:25 says, for whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. We're sanctified through our obedience to the word of God. And if you truly want to gain your life, you have to lose whatever is contrary to this word. And if you don't want to be sanctified, and you don't want to grow in God, and you don't want to manifest your sonship, just disobey this. Just don't submit to the word. Let your self-will destroy your family too. A lot of people may read what the word said, but these are not people that believe the word of God. They're people that think that they can be in rebellion to the word and still call themselves Christian. The Jezebel spirit has taken over the church in America because it's so worldly, so corrupt. There are lots of churches being ruled over by women, and they give you the dumbest excuses for why they're doing it. But it's witchcraft, because it's rebellion and it's idolatry in 1 Samuel 15:23. Yeah, Missy.
Okay, I have a question.
Okay.
Over in the previous page, at the bottom there, it says, a husband is following the Lord. A husband who is following the Lord is the savior of his body, which is his wife, just as Christ, whose head is God, is obeying in order to save his body, which is the church. Okay, which... there's a very first question in the question section. It says, which is similarly related here. You can relate it to what that statement is. It says, how much authority does the wife have over her husband's body in praying for his healing? And then down further, he says, First Corinthians 7:4, the wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. It's not as if you're believing for someone else's body, you're believing for your body, and you have special authority there. When you go outside your family, you have less authority. Then you have to have some faith from the person who's being prayed for. Okay, here's my question. I understand that, you know, the husband has authority over the wife to pray, and the wife also has that same authority to pray for her husband. But my question is, if I were to pray for my husband, does he have to have the faith as well as me, or is it only matter that I have the faith to pray for his healing?
It's whoever has the faith in the family. If you have the faith in the family, God will honor that.
Okay.
If you believe.
Because it's talking about authority. We have authority over each other's body, basically, is what the Lord's saying. But I wanted what David's saying here, and it's saying in the word, but the part where it says, when you go outside your family, you have less authority. Then you have to have some faith from the person who's being prayed for.
Where are you reading from? We hadn't gotten to that yet, have we?
No, I know. Because it was related to the body, different aspect of, a husband and wife are one body, you know, and so I thought this was a good point. I was in the question and answer section. So Yeah, page 170.
Well, we're not in, see, I only sent you one chapter.
I know, but my question is similar.
You're jumping up ahead again.
But I need to have an answer to this.
Yeah, okay.
It's similarly related to what there is at the bottom of page 150. So I just wanted to ask that question. So it doesn't matter if either spouse if the one that's being prayed for doesn't have the faith, as long as the one that's praying has the faith, that's important. That's the only thing that matters. Is that what you're saying? Because we're one body, we're one flesh.
Yep.
So if I'm praying,
and David teaches that too. If you're the one in the family that has the authority and that knows and has the faith, you're the one that prays.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. I wanted to make sure that. Yeah. Even if he wouldn't have the faith, but I did, that it was.
Well, it would be nice if you could get Barbara to sit and listen in.
Well.
Okay. That's okay. That's all right.
Okay, thanks for answering that. I thought that was the answer. I just wanted to get a clarity and confirmation.
Yeah. Yeah, David teaches that also. And it's the one who has authority in the family that believes, you know, the believer mm-hmm. in the family. You have faith and you can pray for him and he'll get you. God will heal you. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
I just wanted to address the part on the paragraph you just read, Michael, about about just being in rebellion to the word and still call themselves Christians, and the Jezebel spirit has taken over the church in America because it's worldly and so corrupt. There's a lot of churches being ruled over by women, and they give you the dumbest excuses why they're doing it, but it's witchcraft and it's rebellion and it's idolatry. A lot of the churches, as we maybe most of us have come out of, they are very worldly churches, and they model the whole corporate America structure as far as like having the board of directors and president, vice president, and all that stuff too. So they model their churches like a corporation does. And being in corporate America for the time I was in there, the Jezebel spirit is very dominant, and they encourage women to be that in that structure. And there's like, she lies. She wants what she wants and she's going to get it. And she'll push people out of the way to get there to the top. And it's all contrary to God's ordained structure that he put in place. And I just see the parallel between where I was working and what was in the church, and it's why it's so messed up, and it's why we're so messed up.
Well, praise God.
Once you learn it, I'm sorry, Michael. Once you learn it, once you realize what you were and what you were in and why, you know, and it's like those spirits come on you, and you don't have a choice because you know they're manipulative. They intimidate, they pump you up to get what they want, you know, they encourage you, but don't get in their way. You do what I tell you. Anyhow, once you see it and you recognize, you know, what it is, you know, that's you got to learn to overcome it by the grace of God and his promises and wanting to die to give it up. So, you know, if any of you people are still in the workplace, you know what I'm talking about because I'm sure you see it. Praise the Lord. We get the victory. That's all.
Amen. I tell you, Julie, I have talked to women when they came in and they read this book and they got freedom from it. They said, man, I like this. This is awesome that I don't have to make the decisions, that the husband has to make the decision. And that's an awesome place to be in. When you're in alignment with the word of God, everything just falls into place. The family falls into place. The kids learn what's supposed to happen in the family. Praise God. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, correct me if I'm wrong, but well, I'm 60 years old, but if you were to go back to my grandfather's day, this was something that was never in the church. In most of every one of these denominations that we even came out of. So this is something that's fairly new, and it's just a sad thing. And in the past, you can remember that with my household, it was the father that was the boss, you know, and this is something that's lost in society. And I think it was more of a slow degradation, but, you know, I remember that if you were a Christian reformer, there was no, there was only guys up there on stage speaking, same with the Lutherans and even the, you know, the Anglicans and the Episcopalians and all of them. And this is part of the destruction. This is, there's a verse there, their children shall rule over them. And, you know, it's one of the basics that I've just recently come in the last 60 years or so, I guess. And anyways, that's just a comment that I wanted to make.
Well, you're exactly right. David goes in it in the first of the book, I believe, when he talks about the World War II, what happened in World War II, where the women had to go to work because the men were fighting the war. And and it kind of started there and just got worse as years went by.
Well, I even remember someone coming to the front door and trying to talk to convince my mom that she should be working and stuff instead of being at home.
Really?
A lot of those women actually left that workplace and just went back home to be mothers and family.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so they were happy to see their husbands come back home and that the war was over too. But it, somewhere it got lost in the shuffle.
Well, you know, that's the way it was in my family. My dad was final authority. There's no doubt. I mean, that was it. There wasn't no ifs, ands, and buts about it. When Daddy said it, it was law. Or consequences, you know, the organ bench, and that's not a good place to be. Go ahead, Pat.
Well,
so I was just thinking that I was going back to this fear thing again, that the Jezebel has to retain control, has to retain control over her environment or its environment, however you want to say it. I guess we always consider it the female, you know, a female spirit or whatever. I don't know if that's even the case, but they have to maintain control, because if they are in control, they feel like that they can save themselves. They can, you know, pad their future. They can control all the aspects of everything coming into their life. So what the interesting thing, and I think this is in one of David's teachings, but maybe even in this chapter that we're reading here, but God's got the answer, and that answer is in verse 22 of Revelation 2, where he says, or in 21, where he's talking to the church of Thyatira. He said, I have this against thee, that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, and she teaches and seduces my servants to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time that she should repent, and she willeth not to repent of her fornication. And then God's answer is, behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of her works. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searches the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto each one of you according to your works. And that great tribulation spirit of Jezebel and those that are controlled by that spirit of Jezebel, that great tribulation will take them into a place where they see that being in control, they don't have the resources in order to save themselves. At least this is, I believe, the motivation behind it. They recognize and they come face to face with the fact that they do not possess in themselves to save themselves or provide the resources necessary to get through this thing. And that very environment is, you know, what God brings into those people's lives, that they would repent of their fornication, repent of their being controlled by that spirit, and repent and turn to Christ and give themselves over to the Lord Jesus. However, and so I believe it's in that tribulation that there is hope even for that spirit in those people's lives, or in everyone that's influenced by that spirit. Anyway, I leave it there.
Amen. Missy, I do want to clarify one thing about what you asked a while ago and what I told you. It's up to the person that you pray for to keep that healing. Get in the Word and keep, you know, confess it, do the things that the Word says. So just to qualify, go ahead.
Okay, let me just to even, because a thought came to me too. Well, what if that person is, you know, this, and this would be, I'm not just asking this just for me personally, but to help everybody else too. Just, you know, if a person is, even if they don't have the faith and you pray for them, what if they're, will they get that healing if they're in any unconfessed sin or unforgiveness? Would that keep them from getting that healing?
Jesus did it all the time, didn't he? People that were unsaved. And he's our, what you have to do, and we've talked about this before, when you pray for somebody like what you're talking about, mm-hmm. you have to give them that thing that Jesus did. He said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So you have to preach the gospel to them too and give right. them that relief, you know.
Right. Okay, now that isn't why I have my hand raised. I just, to say that, but since you mentioned that, I thought I'd pop that in it. But,
okay.
Oh my God. You know, it's saying here about that Jezebel doesn't want to even submit to God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had an experience over the weekend, big time, with a Jezebel in the family, and I won't say who it is, but I was like, oh my gosh. Trying to tell me basically that I was wrong for not going to my daughter-in-law's baby shower, the second one. Anyway, and And this person says to me, you know, I was saying it's not just about what I want. It's there's other people involved and it's, you know, whatever, you know, I was trying to explain as best I could. And this person says to me, I was in my mind and it was like, after the fact, after I thought about it, those demons and that person knew what I was thinking. Because I was thinking about saying something about the Lord, you know, directing me in this. And this person says, well, and don't tell me that the Lord wouldn't want you to go and be with your family or, you know, or whatever.
That's a Jezebel spirit.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, exactly. I mean, it's just like. It right there, it you know, why wouldn't God want you to go and be with your family? And, you know, I was like, this person says, and don't say, because, and I didn't say that. And this person says, well, I saw it coming. And I'm like, yeah, there's, you know, after I thought about the whole thing, yeah, there's demons was reading my mind and trying to. Oh my gosh, it was unreal.
Well, I would venture to say that most people that have been with UBM at any time at all have experienced the same thing. some of us even more so than others.
Yeah, but it was just like, wow. But it was like, I'm like, Lord, you know, I'm like, thinking, you know,
the thing that we have to look for is not to allow people to tell us what to do. It's the word of God that tells us what to do. And sometimes we acquiesce to the family members that don't understand and just say, you know, just go along with them. It's, yep, you're right. And go and do what God tells you to do.
Well, and it's funny this same person was trying to make suggestions to me about, you know, going to my parents and cleaning and everything, you know, and, you know, well, about hiring somebody for him or whatever. And I said, well, that came to me, but that's not what the Lord put it in my heart to go and clean for my parents. So that's how I'm going to do it. Basically, it was the gist of what I said, you know, and this is an unsaved person, but it was just like, wow,
Amen. Okay. Anybody else got a question or a comment? We're starting to get a picture here of what a Jezebel really is, you know, and it's more. Wait, there's more. Yeah. Ephesians 5:22. I think that's where I am, isn't it? No, where am I? 5:23.
Michael, I think you just finished on page 151 halfway after.
I'm not on 151. I'm on page 5.
Okay. Self-will hates the word is the subcaption there. That's where you are.
Oh, I didn't even turn the page, did I? Golly, you jumped way ahead. I know I wasn't that far.
Yeah, that's where we finished. The paragraph before there.
Samuel, come on, man. Be on my side, man. You got to help me here.
Michael, where you just finished reading, we were discussing is how the people that think they can be in rebellion to the word and still call themselves Christians. The Jezebel spirit has taken over the church in America because it's so worldly corrupt. Okay. And then that's where we last finished.
Okay. Yeah, I see now. Thank you. Thank you so much. Self-will hates the word. Is that where we are now? What is the idol of Jezebel? Here it comes. And this you all know if you've ever experienced it. It's self-will. I'm going to do what I want to do. And bless God, nothing's going to change. Some people inherit that self-will through a parent. But some people are just plain self-willed. And you know, folks, a spirit can take you over. Jezebel is one right there. And it can take you to hell. If you're obeying Jezebel, you're not obeying the Lord. You're not under the Lord. And don't call yourself a Christian until you repent. Ask the Lord to grant you repentance. Ooh. Remember that Jezebel in the Old Testament cut off all the prophets of the Lord that she could find. 1 Kings 18, 13, 19, and 10. Jezebel's spirits hate the word of God. How many of you have heard of Jezebel say, well, that's just the way you interpret it? Well, how do you interpret black and white, you know? They'll do their best to weasel their way out of it by twisting it, perverting it any way they can so they can rule. But this is a destroyer of family bodies and the corporate body church. You must get rid of it. You must repent and cast it out. Don't let the devil rule your house. If Christ is not ruling your house, then the devil is ruling your house. Jezebel is from the devil. She has brought great corruption to the church, great rebellion against the word of God, great destruction of the doctrines of the church. Husbands, don't submit to that thing for a minute. But Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. So love your wives, just as Ephesians tells you right here, but don't love them more than you love the Lord, because that's a perversion. Don't give in to that. Any questions? As for the men there. 1 Peter 3:1, in like manner, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that even if any obey not the word. And of course, some wives use that excuse. Well, my husband doesn't obey this, or he doesn't obey that. But you see right here in black and white, that's not an excuse. They need to obey their husband. 1 Peter 3:1, in like manner, you wives be in subjection to your own husbands, that even if any obey not the word, they may be without the word, be gained by the behavior of their wives. Now, even though we're just reading it here right out of the word, some of you still might have some arguments, some what ifs. Don't worry about them. Just do what the word says. Obey to the very best of your ability, and one day you'll figure out all of those what ifs. Amen. Any questions from the men or other women? This is not just about the women. This is about all of us, isn't it? What a God. 1 Peter 3:1, in like manner, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, your own husband, that even if any obey not the word, they may without the word be gained by the behavior of their wife. Beholding your chaste behavior coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of braiding the hair and of wearing jewels of gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in the incorruptible apparel of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, this is what God says that wives, Christian wives, should put on: the incorruptible apparel of a meek and quiet spirit. It is so beautiful in a woman, especially here in America, for goodness sake, David said. What a sick country and a bunch of sick Christians here too. They don't believe the word of God, and they have allowed their foolish leadership, who have a Jezebel spirit, to take positions over Christ and over the body. So a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price, is what God calls beautiful. And this is what his bride is going to look like. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 5. For after this manner aforetime, the holy woman also, who hoped in God, adorned themselves. Notice, they adorned themselves with subjection to their own husband. This made them beautiful. That's in the eyes of God. Being in subjection to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose children ye now are, if ye do well, and are not put in fear by any terror. Abraham and Sarah are a good example. She honored his headship. She called him Lord. And a lot of people call Jesus Lord, but he said in Luke chapter 6 and 46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That's very clear. 1 Peter 3 verse 7 says, ye husbands, in like manner, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel. So it's not that the husband is ruling obnoxiously and demanding his authority. Get that now. It's through love and peace, as being also joint heirs of the grace of life, to the end that your prayers be not hindered. Amen. Go ahead, Pat.
Sorry, I'm stumbling here. I had my screen blown up. One of the things that hit me in that verse, 1 Peter 3, 5 there, it says, for after this manner aforetime. The thing that jumped out that hit me was that when David said, notice they adorned themselves with subjection to their own husbands. And the thing that jumped out at me was they adorned themselves, meaning they had to accept and willingly accomplish this, put themselves forward to accomplish this thing in themselves. They adorned themselves with subjection. So there's a certain willingness. And being in subjection to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose children ye now are, if ye do well and are not put in fear by any terror. In other words, you don't allow yourself to be put in fear by any kind of a terror, which that is the very foundation there of what a Jezebel tries to do in our life, to regain control of you. To regain that control, they have to put that fear, they have to, put that terror, that fear in there, so that you by fear will then decide to regain and take back control of my life here. I guess the Lord has been showing me that connection of fear. As he, spoke to the prophets in various different places and told them to go, but do not fear their fear. Do not fear the fear that's, what gets thrown up in front of you, a big fearful thing that gets thrown in front of you. Don't fear that. And this, it just seems fitting that he's telling the women here who have chosen to adorn themselves with this subjection to their husband, that one of the tricks the devil is going to use is he's going to raise up terror. He's going to put, throw fear in your life to force you into, you know, again, correcting and taking control again yourself. But so anyway, that's all I was thinking of there.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
I'd like to comment on that a little bit. I was talking to a sister about those scriptures, Pat, about being in, you know, not letting anything, you know, make you afraid. If you're not in fear of anything. And a brother once told me that if you're worried or you're fearful or you're anxious or you're troubled, it's because there's some area that something, whatever, could be anything, but there's something where you are not trusting God in. And if a wife is subject to her husband and she's obedient as she would be to the Lord, you're going to trust the Lord, right? I'm going to trust the Lord. Okay, I'm going to trust the Lord that my husband is hearing from God himself. So I don't need to be fearful about anything. If I'm obedient and submitting to my husband, I know my husband's going to hear from the Lord. I don't have any reason to fear. And it's that whole submissiveness, subjection to Christ, getting rid of your fear with God, right? This is what I'm afraid of. What am I afraid of? Addressing that fear, telling God about it, getting rid of it. Okay, now that's gone. It's cleared up. And you're fighting against whatever the enemy might try to put in you. But, you know, if you've repented of it, you told God about it, it's gone. Okay, now I can trust my husband that he's obey him and not have fear about anything, because I know I'm praying for him and he's going to hear the voice of the Lord. I don't have anything to worry about. I don't have anything to fear. Anyhow, that's what the Lord was showing me and teaching me about those verses. Why would you fear? Except some lie. There's a lie. You're not trusting God somewhere about something. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Pat.
So, yeah, I'd just like to comment about that, elaborate a little bit about that, because it's when that fear comes in, and quite frankly, this is not just a message for women. It's a message for everybody, because everyone is under has to willingly submit to authority. Every one of us experiences the same process, and that what Julie is saying there is that if I have a fear that comes up in my life, it's because the Lord is bringing it up. He's bringing that up and making me aware of it. Because our will is necessary to be engaged in cooperating with him to remove the source of that fear. And we have to be aware that there's a fear there. And with the controlled environment that God uses in our life in order to make us aware of fears, bring up that awareness within us, is the environment of authority, of submission to authority. And when we are, let me correct that. It is the authority. It's the principle or the law of authority. That's the environment by where we learn these things. It is our submission to that authority, or that willingness to stay under that authority and not run out from under it, but by obedience to God, submit to that authority and allow him to bring up that fear within us so that we can address it. And then we find ourselves in a place of, am I with that fear, that terror, that thing that I feel, or a woman may very well fear being submitted to her husband and seeing something come up and be fearful about it. There's a sense of security that is disrupted there when you see something. And my choice is to run, protect myself, do whatever I need to do, control this situation and try to handle this fear and whatever. That's the Jezebel spirit coming in and trying to get you to come out from underneath that submission. Or by that submission, we can put our confidence, we have opportunity to put our confidence in the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ for us as a person submitting under that authority. Because if you're like every other person in the world, you can't be under a perfect, holy, blameless authority. That's not the key. Because Daniel was, well, and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, where God brought them into an environment where they were put under a very antagonistic, harsh environment under that authority. And they were brought in many times into a place being willingly under submission, where they were brought face to face with terrors and fears that they had to take to the Lord. They chose rather not to disobey, shoot out from underneath that authority, or try to rebel, gather up a bunch of guns and see if we can shoot a bunch of people or whatever it would be. They willingly submitted to God, and God then with them became their salvation and their strength, even in the midst of that environment. And I think it is so important to understand that, especially for women who are submitting to husbands that may not be listening to God, that may be out there, whatever. They have to be able to, those women learn by that submission to allow God to be their savior, even in the conditions that they're experiencing, say, in that relationship or that marriage, whatever. So I think the elaboration there with Julie is that it doesn't necessarily equate to, now I'm blindly obeying my husband. I mean, I take this with a grain of salt. I'm blindly now going to obey my husband because now he knows the way and he's going to teach me and he's going to lead me and whatever. No, our salvation is still with our relationship with the Lord, but that relationship is nurtured and developed as we submit even to this husband who may not be a Christian, who may not be in tune with God. So maybe I'm just saying the same things and repeating myself, but it just seemed like I just wanted to clarify that for my,
amen, myself. But, amen. I know that men and women when they have a spouse that's not on the same page with them. You just, the ones that are on the road to listening to God and doing what the Word says and all of that, it's a sacrifice. You have to love your wife or your husband, regardless of, you know, where they are. And, but that's not to the tune of where you disregard what God has told you, men. If God tells you to do something, and regardless of whether your wife agrees with you or not, you have to do it. There are men over in the Middle East and Africa that are leaving their families not knowing whether or not they're going to be able to return because God said, go. And that's where he's bringing us into. That's where he's bringing us, people that don't experience that type of evangelistic, they are doing the first century stuff where they went out. They didn't know if it's going to come back or not. These people are the same way. They're getting killed. And the wives, you know, are having to submit because that's what God wants them to do. That's where he's taking us with these scriptures here. It's going to be, who do you want to serve more? You know, God or yourself? And I'm telling you, it's going to be an awesome time for those who go with God. Yeah, Lana.
Hey, I just wanted to share how timely this discussion is. When I received the email last week regarding this, and I started reading, not too long after I started reading, I mean, within minutes, my husband arrived home and told me that because he has been laid off, and I think it was like that same day, and because of the angel's commands in combination with other things going on in our household, he had gone ahead and not only canceled his hair appointment, but he's canceled all future hair appointments for myself and himself and anything we had for the kids at the local salon where we went. He said, it's a luxury we can do without. And immediately anger took over and I attacked him. And this happened over various things. Over the next couple of days, it continued to reoccur over various topics. And with each reoccurrence, the Lord gave me the grace to recognize that this was Jezebel, that I needed to squash her, and I needed to recognize what was going on. And so it didn't take more than, you know, three of these episodes for me to start calling her out and repenting on the spot for what was going on and realizing how absolutely empty my arguments were, and that I was just seeking self-pity. I was seeking to lower my husband by making him apologize to me. I was seeking to control him because he had done something without discussing it with me. And it was these petty little things that she was trying to get me to latch on to destroy my relationship with my husband in that moment. And the Lord has been so graceful in taking me through that, because I have asked for deliverance of this spirit. When I first joined the outreach, and I know the Lord's been slowly manifesting that over the years, and this last week, he's definitely been allowing me to understand deeper and deeper just how subtle she is and just how deeply she knows our weaknesses in order to get us to do what she wants us to do, and all the time using our logic, our nature, our will, our heart's desires, the lusts of the flesh to get this done. And what I've come to also understand is that being submissive to our husbands is not only a command of the Lord, but it's the way he also created women to be women and men to be men. And it, David talks about a lot of these things in The Tongue Conquers the Curse. The way men's characters are built, it's very easy to break them, to destroy them as helpmeets by criticizing them, by not being on their side, by taking somebody else's side because we logically think our husband is wrong. And we don't have to be blind in our submission. We are in submission with our eyes wide open because we love them and we don't want to criticize them. We don't want to bring them down. We don't want to manipulate them. We want to lift them up. We want to be a blessing to them. We want to do our part in their lives as the Lord. And I've also found that sometimes I attack him and I can't understand why. And I've started to realize it's because, not necessarily because I want to do it, but because the enemy uses me to come against my husband. Not because I have something personal against him, but, my beloved husband, Theo, I can brag on him all day, but the Lord has immensely blessed him with great wisdom, patience. He has truly dedicated his life to loving me as his wife, even though he saw me, the Jezebel that I was, the Jezebel household that I was raised in the night he first met me. He instantly discerned this. And yet the Lord gave him a great love and a great desire and faith in me and to take me on as his helpmeet, knowing what he would face with the household I came from and the Jezebel spirit he saw the night he met me. And the Lord's used him to work that out of me. But I've also seen that without my consent, the enemy has used this to also try him and to take him through those fiery trials that I would not have on him, but yet that weakness inside me was used against him. The Lord's given him so much strength to pass the test every single time. And it's been an amazing testimony to me as his spouse and such an encouragement to be an overcomer and to get rid of every last breath of that Jezebel spirit, her influence, any traces of her in my life and my household with whatever it takes by the grace of God. So I hope that encourages somebody, and I hope it also builds up somebody's courage to take a look deep inside. Why am I arguing? Why am I coming against? Why in the world am I correcting my head? You'd never correct your boss. We're not supposed to. And when you start digging one step at a time and being honest with yourself, it's because I want control of this particular situation. It's because I'm afraid he won't do what I want. It's because I feel bad and I'm pitying myself and I want him to pity me. All these little fleshly desires, and we're destroying the man we're supposed to respect and submit to, and in turn crucifying Christ. So God help us all, and his grace is unlimited in this case, and he is willing to reach out a hand and deliver every one of us and give us the strength to pass the test every time because he's done it for me. All glory to God.
Lana, I must say that you said more in that little bit of time than I have all night long. That was a great testimony to God's love for you and Theo. Thank you so much. That'll help a lot of women. Thank you so much.
All glory to God. The sacrifice is worth. The sacrifice is worth every tear shed. Every battling, it's a beautiful challenge, but it's so worth everything. This topic is so near and dear to my heart because I'm surrounded by women in bondage. I was raised surrounded by women in this bondage, and the Lord quickly started
revealing all that to me. And so I'm so grateful that the Lord is bringing this up again in our midst. And I will continue to pray that this becomes more and more and more clear to every woman out there desiring to be the love of her husband's heart, the helpmeet that the Father has made us to be, and the perfect union of Jesus Christ that he's meant for every husband and wife out there to be.
Amen. Couldn't have said it better. I don't think David could have said it better. That's firsthand experience. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Stephen or Helen, either one of them.
Yeah, I got some unmuted here. I was going to say that I was raised in a home where my father was not a believer and my mother was. And my mother's way she conducted herself was not one of confrontation, you know, arguing religion and any of that kind of stuff. She just acted as, for the most part, in a submissive way to my father and honored him. And she always prayed for him. And at some point in time, he decided that her nature won him over, and he was interested in, you know, finding God, and he became a believer shortly before he died. That was a number of years ago. But it was, I think it was the nature, her nature and how she acted had everything to do with him changing, you know, changing his place and moving from a basically an agnostic, I would say, to a believer.
Awesome. Thank you. That was awesome. Go ahead, Missy.
We've only got a couple minutes left, and I had a question I wanted to ask. It's a little different subject, but I wanted to see if anybody knew anything about this. I have a couple kids that went Catholic, and they talk about this thing called a, what's it?
Stigmata.
Okay. It's a person who kind of like once a year takes on all these, the body gets all these wounds like Jesus, and they start bleeding, and it's kind of gross, and something doesn't seem quite right about it. But I don't know if any of you know anything about, there's a few people out in the world that are these stigmatas, and if anybody has heard anything about that or knowing about that.
David actually talks about that. Somebody may have to help me. It was something like bleeding in a wall or something. And, no? Oh, yeah. And he was in his church, and the pastor or something. I don't remember all the details, but what David did was cast it out and it quit. It's a demon.
That's what we both thought the same thing. Is this does not look like it's from God. And they kind of worship it. They find, you know, the Catholics kind of worship these people that, but it doesn't seem right to me. And so I didn't want to say what my opinion was before I, you know, put it out there. But, Joe has something, I think.
All right, go ahead, Joe.
No, you hit the nail on the head. It is demonic. I've seen movies in the past, well, Hollywood movies, and we know what Hollywood is, you know, the purveyor of. So it's something, I don't know what, you know, because, I mean, I grew up Roman Catholic. So, I mean, I know about some of these things, not in depth, but I remember hearing about that. So, yeah, that is something that's not, it's not a common thing within the church, but I don't know where, because there was a movie years ago about it, and I guess this woman was her mother sent her a rosary, you know, like beads from some specific country, and those various signs started occurring. So I guess they're like physical manifestations of the, you know, like the wounds of Christ and all that stuff. So I think, yeah, that's not anything that's of God, you know, of course. I mean, so yeah, something demonic. I guess it's something powerful enough demonic to where physically it can manifest those things, you know? So something not the method, of course, but yeah, it's something that powerful, I guess you could say, you know? So yeah. Yeah.
We had the same conclusion, but we kind of just wanted to see if anybody else had any experience with that. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. No problem.
All right. Go ahead, Missy.
To kind of tack on to what Lana was saying, it's funny, I've been reading the word women in authority, and I was right on the about ready to start the chapter that you're reading in tonight. So that was Sovereign Lord. But what David doesn't really specifically say this, but what the Lord really showed me was that and it doesn't matter if your husband is a believer or an unbeliever. See them through the eyes of faith. See them as Jesus. See Christ in them, you know, and recognize that, you know, it's like the Lord says to me, you know, talk to him and treat him the way you would treat me, you know? And boy, that just really brought a huge conviction to me, you know, about how respectful and you know, I need to be, you know. And that was just, it was just like, it was, the Lord just really spoke that strongly to me. And I was just like, wow, you know. And that really, if you really look at your husband as being the Lord, you know, and treat him the same way you would treat the Lord, with respect and honor and, you know, all that stuff. It really, I know it's made a big difference in me, really gave me a revelation. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, if they're a believer or not, you know, and but you're praying and believing for them to be a believer. So anyway, that's just something that the Lord greatly impressed on me.
Amen. Go ahead, Lana.
I just wanted to quickly comment. There were times when I wondered why it is that I was so hard on my husband as my other half, as somebody who I should love with all my heart, as I love the Lord and all that good stuff. And yet I could show more respect to other men. And the thought that comes to me in response to that, why we women would do that, that we feel that we have the right to criticize and bring down and belittle and disrespect our very own husbands, the ones that are considered our one flesh, is because Jezebel wants us to attack our own body in order that in the end, we not only destroy our husband, but destroy ourselves. And in that way, she has the victory over the entire family. Because it's one thing if you just, you know, go belittle other people, but if she can do the damage inside of us in order to bring death to the entire body, because we and our husbands are one flesh, then she will have accomplished that. And that's death to the family, death to the family, the unity of God and Christ in us. And that was the, I wanted to kind of share that. And it's a revelation from the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's been good tonight. It's been real good. Julie, help me remember where we are. Thursday night, yeah. All right. Father, I just thank you so much for this wonderful group of people that want to follow you and everything, Lord. Even when we've been taught different as we grew up in some cases. But Lord, we thank you for absolute surrender to you in everything. And we ask, Father, that you place that in us to do it and to follow you, Lord, whatever it takes. And that our spouses would follow in like manner in the name of Jesus. Because we know that at some point in time, we're all going to come in that one accord. Wife and husband are going to do that. It's going to be an awesome time with them. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for protecting us. We thank you for your angels that are out there doing the work for us. We thank you, Lord, for your son that went through the cross for us and gave us an avenue to come to you directly. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our life. And Father, protect us. Give us a good night's sleep or a good day's work today as we go about doing the things that you'd have us to do. And Lord, we thank you for guiding Theo and Lana into this new realm of where you're going to have put them, Lord. And we ask and we pray, Father, that you give them clear direction in the ways that you'd have them do it in the name of Jesus. And thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, good night, y'all. God bless you. We love you.